There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is dedicated to a young listener who unfortunately left us too soon. Rest in peace, Simone.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 527. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and also joining me for this episode is Paris. Paris, what's up?
We are recording this at the same time of the red carpet premiere for The Force Awakens.
Oh man, it is so hard. I'm trying to stay away from the like the internet, Twitter, and everywhere because I'm afraid to see a spoiler that's gonna mess up my experience when I go to the movie theaters on Thursday. Well, by the time people listen to this, we're gonna be already seeing the movie and everything.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing because the movie isn't even out yet. They're just doing the red carpet stuff and they're doing the live stream and following Twitter already. I can tell someone's gonna spoil it, so I gotta go media blackout. I gotta be done because that's my entire feed is just Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars.
And that's everywhere, even
Facebook.
On Facebook, too. Yeah, it's, oh my God, that's going to be hard. Another thing, too, Paris, it's the holidays and we've been kind of like taking a break. We haven't taken no breaks this year, you know. So what we've been doing is, you know, we have a lot of content that Patrick recorded during PlayStation Experience. And we're going to be recording like small segments for each episode. And the one that we're going to be recording, like all of us, the whole crew, is the one of the Game of the Year episode, which is coming out the week of New Year's. But we're going to be taking breaks here and there. And we have a lot of content from PlayStation Experience. So I'm going to be posting that two interviews for this episode and a couple more in the future. So stay tuned. We have a lot of plans, a lot of things to be working on behind the scenes for January. You know, starting the new year is going to be great, man. So anything else, Paris, before I start promoting the website and everything?
No, go for it.
All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it and listen to our past episodes. And also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. And if you can, subscribe to our podcast, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. If you have the beta of Spotify, you could also subscribe there and share with your friends and family. Just spread the word about GTR. All right. And 2016 is looking really, really good for us. I can't wait because there's going to be a lot of content coming up and so many games next year, man. So many games. All right. So we're going to start with fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, we're going to read a couple of emails here. Man, and I know everybody wants to know our thoughts about this, Paris. So I'm going to read this one. This is from Ryan. Ryan, there's no location where he's from, but I'll read it. And the topic is about Tomb Raider. So this is going to be a very, very interesting topic. So he writes, "Hey, guys, MPD numbers are out, and Tomb Raider failed to make the top 10 list. It's really sad to see such a fantastic game selling so poorly. Anyway, my question for you guys is, why you think game failed so badly in sales? Is it because of the exclusive deal with Microsoft or poor release timing? According to me, game sold poorly because it was released in November against big AAA juggernauts like Fallout 4, Call of Duty, and not because it was exclusive to Xbox. Gamers with limited amount of money will always go with the game which offers more gameplay value. Fallout 4 or Black Ops 3 offer more gameplay value than Tomb Raider. Plus, hype for Fallout was way more than Tomb Raider. What do you guys think? Am I right here? Please discuss this on a podcast. Can I go first, Paris? Or you want? Because I know you have a long answer about this.
No, actually, I should go first because I disagree with everything that he said, and it's what I've been saying for months. So go ahead.
Which one you disagree, though? Which part?
I don't disagree. I agree with everything that he's saying.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you disagree.
No. I agree. It's what I've been saying for months is this game did not have the success that it should have had, despite it being a critically acclaimed game, because of the launch window and partly to do with the exclusive deal. It has a limited audience. It's just how it works in 2015.
Now, what is a failure? Like I've been talking to Paris and the guys about this a lot. And, you know, we disagree about this, but what is failure? Is it based on numbers or based on the money that you got back from depending how much you invested for this exclusive deal? You know, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, Square Enix, they're fine. They're fine because, yes, they have this exclusive deal, which Microsoft helped them to invest this money for them to develop this game. Because if it wasn't for that money, this game wouldn't have been available at all. But here's the good thing. Now, early 2016 is going to come out on PC, right? And then sometime next year, then we're going to finally see this on PlayStation 4. Which is even better for gamers because, you know, they're going to release like all the DLC and a bunch of other stuff that's not available from the game that just came out for the Xbox One and Xbox 360. Now, another thing too, you guys got to understand, the top 10 usually is always games that are multi-platform. If a game like Zelda, Halo shows up in a top 10, it's really, really difficult to see something like that with other games too. Like even Uncharted is like hard to see in the top 10, you know, now because it's only for one console. The ones you're always going to see like NBA 2K, Black Ops, like Call of Duty and all that is because they're a multi-platform game, you know. Another thing too is there was more money invested on marketing with Halo 5 than Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider to me, and I think David pointed this out, he used to be part of GTR, cool guy, and he even mentioned this during our private chat. He was like, Microsoft probably invested to get this exclusive deal just to sell consoles, not because for them to sell copies of Tomb Raider, which
that makes
in
no
a way,
sense,
it
though.
Makes
what you just said doesn't make sense because what came out of the NPD numbers was the fact that this game in the United States sold less than 200,000. There are over 10 million Xbox Ones out there at this point right now, right? Well, so if you go by attach rate, that wasn't the game that sold consoles this holiday. And again, my whole point has been, and I've been saying this for months, if you wanted this game to succeed, give it breathing room. It should have come out in August or September when there wasn't so much competition. But to stick this game after Halo 5, in between Black Ops, the same time as Fallout 4 and Battlefront, you sent it to it was a death sentence. I mean, I don't care how great the game is because I'm not denying that at all. What I'm saying is the marketing strategy for this was poor. Is Square hurting? Probably not, because I'm sure Microsoft paid a pretty penny to get that exclusive deal. And like you said, it will come to the PC and it eventually will come to the PlayStation 4. So down the road, yeah, it's probably going to sell okay. But my worry as a gamer is to see this initially launch with such a low sales point, being a AAA game, we may not get another Tomb Raider. We don't know. I would have rather this game have come out in August or September, got all the critical acclaim. It still would have been available in the holidays. They still could have marketed it. And I guarantee you the sales numbers would have been a lot higher than less than 200,000 in the first few weeks of launch. That's all I'm saying.
But here's another thing too, Paris. The last game was multi-platform, and it was still considered as a failure. So what's the difference?
Yeah,
was,
but if you go look at the numbers for that one, it sold closer to 1 million in the same amount of time. That's a huge difference. So if it was a failure, almost selling 1 million in the first month, but then it only sold 200,000 in that same period of time for the sequel. How can you, you can't call it a success. It's doing but less Paris, than the original.
What is a failure? Is it based on units or based?
Okay, Danny, you're telling me a AAA game that you know millions of dollars have been invested into development time for this game sells less than 200,000 on the Xbox One. You're telling me that's okay? That's not okay.
What day? What? But what day came out in November?
Doesn't matter. November what? It doesn't matter, Danny. You said for the longest. Let's wait till the numbers come out. Wait till
the
numbers
I said
come
November,
out.
December. I said November and December.
It bombed. It bombed. I can go get Tomb Raider right now for $30, and it hasn't even been out a month yet, or barely a month. That's not good.
I don't know, man. I think
so
that
you're saying
if
success.
This. Wait, but success to me is this. Like, if I invest, let's make believe us. Let's say I invested $500 on something, whatever, on a product, whatever, right? That I want to do, whatever. I want to start selling. And I sell enough that I make my money back and a little bit plus, you know, more extra. Then it is a success. A failure to me is I invested $500 and I only get $10 back. Or like a loan amount that I'm not getting enough money to get my like what I invested. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And you don't
say?
Think
like
that just happened in this scenario for Microsoft?
We don't know. We don't know.
But Danny, honestly, come on.
But honestly,
if it's
who
sold,
is it that wants?
If it's
who,
sold, let's just take it to the end of the year. Let's say by the end of the year, they've sold. I'll be generous, 500,000 copies. That is not a success for Microsoft for the amount of money that they invested into this game, because like David said. The point of getting Tomb Raider exclusive was to push hardware. So that means people are picking up that game and an Xbox One at the same time. What we're finding out is it didn't matter what kind of game were attached to these consoles. They were selling anyways, because look at what the PlayStation 4 is doing right now. There's no games out this holiday for the PlayStation 4 exclusive, and it's selling like crazy. Same with the Xbox One. So if you take the money that they invested into Tomb Raider to get it exclusive, they didn't need to. And for the simple fact that they are not getting a return on their investment.
Well, another thing too, we don't know digital numbers at all.
Okay, but percentage-wise, it's not going to be. They would literally need to triple their amount on digital sales, which we know didn't happen.
No, I know. No, I'm not saying that, but that's the thing. We don't know the actual numbers. Really don't know. I mean, I don't know. I wish we could. Well, I'm working on an interview for future podcast episode for GTR, and I'm going to ask that question. I'm very curious to talk with a couple of people from the industry about that. What is failure? What is success? Because I feel that people are thinking if it's not platinum, if it's not million copies, then it's a failure. I think we have to stay away from that, because even independent games, they don't sell millions. And if they do, that's even a big,
but
huge plus.
But an indie at the game end of the doesn't day, cost tens of millions of dollars
no,
to create.
But that's the thing. We don't know how much it is. Do you know the amount they invested on for the game? We don't know. We really have
Common
no clue.
Common sense tells you it was a lot. This is a big budget game. It's a AAA game. This isn't an indie game. That's my point.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we have to. It's about getting money returned. It's not based on sales numbers. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it could sell a million plus if the game was $60 and then they lowered it to $30 and they sold a million. Is that a success?
Maybe I didn't understand what you were. Say that again, please. I apologize.
Okay. All right. Let's say it was $60, right? And then a couple of weeks later, they're selling it for $30, and then it sold a million copies. Is that a success?
Depending on how much it costs to invest to make the game, it depends. All I'm saying is this, like I've said before, Tomb Raider is a huge AAA game. Microsoft marketed this as part of their plan, the best holiday lineup in their history, right? You stuck it in a launch window that was horrible. For this particular game, going up against a Fallout 4, a Black Ops 3, a Halo 5, and a Battlefront. the numbers that came from the MPDs in the United States bear out that they should not have released it in that window. That is all I'm saying. This has nothing to do with the quality of the game. This has nothing to do with how much Microsoft paid to get an exclusive rights. All I'm saying, its return on whatever the investment was poor. Less than 200,000 says that. And the fact that
we don't know that's the real numbers, Paris. At the end of the day, if you guys want to support. If not, don't worry. The game is still going to come out for PlayStation 4 and PC, and everything will be fine. That's all.
That's not true. This could be, of course, it's going to come out there. But if the initial return on the investment was not great enough and they don't get that return by the time that the PlayStation 4 comes out, we may not get another Tomb Raider. That's the point. This could literally hurt the franchise. And that's been my whole point this entire time.
Well, originally, this game was supposed to come out alongside with Uncharted. Uncharted was supposed to come out in November, too. But it got delayed to sometime in spring. And that would have been an interesting conversation if both games were to come out around the same time, and then Fallout and all these other games. And what would happen if Uncharted would have not shown up on the top 10? You know what I'm saying? They're going to call that also a failure? It just, I don't know. I find the whole thing weird. Anyways, I have another email. You want me to read the other email or you want to read it?
No, go ahead.
All right. This is from Chris. He's from Scotland. He was like, hey, guys, thanks for doing a great job with the show. Keep up the great work. I especially love all debate about various topics, which leads me to my question. I own a PlayStation 4 and formerly planted in the Sony ecosystem. I've been told that my wife has bought me an Xbox One for Christmas. Firstly, I'm always very grateful for anything I receive. But looking at the Xbox lineup, there's a possible only one game that I would like to play. I couldn't be less interested in what an Xbox could bring to my already very limited gaming time. What should I do, or how should I react? Big dilemma here, guys, and don't want to upset my wife at Christmas. Regards, Chris from Scotland.
So, to answer your question, being married myself, in this dilemma, if you truly feel there just is not enough content on the Xbox One, you gotta tell your wife the truth. I mean, because you could save that money, repurpose it, do something else with it, get a different gift, perhaps. Your wife is gonna understand that a lot more than you not saying anything and then you never playing the Xbox, because that's the first thing she's going to ask. Well, I got you this Xbox. How come you never playing it? And you're like, and then you're going to really be in trouble. You know what I mean? So my suggestion would be to tell the truth. Now, on the flip side, I do think there's a lot of games on the Xbox One currently and exclusives coming here in 2016 and beyond that eventually you're going to want to play. I mean, if you've been listening to us for a while, I used to say this to Paulson and Mandy years ago when they were, oh, Xbox, Bob, we'll never play it. Look at Paulson now. Paulson can't put the Xbox controller down because he's constantly playing something on there, right? There's eventually going to be something on that system you want to play. So either go ahead, accept it now, be happy, kiss the wife, play Halo or Sunset Overdrive or Gears or whatever exclusive game on there now, or tell the truth, wait it out until there is something you truly want to play on it, and then pick it up then. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, and another thing is that, you know, I look, ever since I started getting all the consoles, like I have all of them already, like the Wii U, Xbox One, PlayStation 4. Now, you know, I got into Steam. Now I feel like I'm not missing out. You know, before I purchased a PlayStation 3, where I was playing a lot of Xbox 360, there was games that came out on that PlayStation 3 that was getting great reviews. Everybody was talking about it, and I was missing out, right? Until I bought the PlayStation 3, and I bought all those games that all my friends were talking about. You know, so now I'm in a position that, hey, if there's a game that's exclusive for PlayStation 4, I just go and buy it. You know, I already have the console, you know, so I feel like I'm not missing out anymore, like, as before, you know? So
yeah, and that's how I look at it, too. I have all the systems, so, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, Wii U, and obviously PC. So if there's a game that comes out that I want to play, I don't have to worry about what system it's on. I just get to play it and enjoy it, you know what I mean? So
yep.
You kind of look at it that way. I mean, like I said, on Xbox One, just for example, we look into 2016, Gears 4 is coming out, Crackdown 3 is coming out. You know, is Halo Wars next year? I can't remember.
Yeah, I most likely will be next year. Yeah. Well, who knows? ReCore.
Yeah, ReCore. And that's, you know, where I was just reading an article about that the other day. They got the former Metroid Prime guys in Austin. They created that development studio. They're the ones working on this. It looks like it's a big project from Microsoft. Could be a sleeper hit next year. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different things. I mean, look at Ori and the Blind Forest. That wound up being a huge hit, and that was exclusive to the Xbox One. Look at that's coming next year, Cuphead. That's going to be exclusive on Xbox One. Now, if you got a PC, obviously you could play them too, but console-wise, it's exclusive to Xbox One. So, I mean, there's going to be games that people are going to want to play on Xbox One, and there's going to be games to play on PlayStation 4. I look at it this way, and I'm pretty sure Danny agrees with me, and I've been saying this for years. If you can afford it, because I know everyone cannot afford it, but if you can't afford it, just get them all. Get them all, because there's going to be a game on every system you want to play. Yeah. But if you have to choose, then that's when you need to make the decision, which platform is going to have the most exclusive titles that I want to play.
Yeah, give it a try, too. You never know. You might even like the system, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
You know, as much as I've complained over the years and connect this, connect that, I use Kinect every day because it's in my home entertainment center, and it turns on every device in there. I use it every day. Even my wife and kids, they use it too. So trust me, because I know I got the little reputation lately. I get it on Twitter all the time that I'm the Xbox hater on the show now. But I mean, the reality of the thing is it's a great console. But look, again, we talk about the NPDs. The NPD numbers bear it out. I mean, yeah, PlayStation 4 outsold it, but it barely outsold it. People are buying Xbox One. And they're buying PlayStation 4s. It is literally a great time to be a gamer, period. You know, it doesn't matter what system you're on. There's fun games for everybody to play.
Definitely, man. So we're going to play some interviews recorded during PlayStation Experience. And once we're done, we'll be right back to do a nice little outro for you guys. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag? Patrick here again in PlayStation Experience 2015. Got a chance to check out the new project from Sky Studios called Salt and Sanctuary, which the best way I can put it is a 2D game that is designed to kick my ass. I'm not very good at it, but I really like it a lot. I'm joined by my good friend Michelle here. Michelle, what do you do on the project?
So I do art as well as the social media and the website, press stuff, event management kind of stuff. James is my partner, and it's just us two on the dev team. He does programming, we share art, and he also does the music.
For a two-person game, you would have fooled me on that one, because if you did the art for that, I'm very impressed. For those who haven't known what Salt and Sanctuary is, I mean, it's a very bleak, dystopian look to it, medieval, you know, brutal concept of one life. Kind of break down, like, what makes Salt and Sanctuary different from, you know, other 2D action games out there?
So it's very punishing, very hardcore. It's similar to our older games where we have a lot of combo and it's fast-paced. This game...
The dishwasher game. Exactly.
Exactly. It's like it's based off of our old dishwasher games. The style is very similar. You'll feel it's very responsive, very visceral. But we've introduced a new like stamina system. It's much more RPG heavy. But it's still like if you play it, you will know that it's dishwasher creators. Yeah.
I like that. It's a fast, fluid combat system where, you know, in the dishwasher it was, you know, hack and slash, make you feel like a cool action hero. This one kind of rolls it down because, like, I feel like you have to earn being cool in this game. You know, I kind of cheat. I was playing a level 20 on the demo, so I kind of, you know, took my power. But even then, the skill set wasn't there. So even if you have the powerful character, you have to know how to play the game. Like you said, the dodging, the magic is so critical. Can you break down, like, you know, what type of weapons and magic is available in the game?
Right. So there are a ton of different weapons in the game. There's a different varieties of weapons. You've got like your swords, axes, scythes, wands, crossbows. There's a gun sword. There's just a ton of weapons. And those weapons you can upgrade at the blacksmith, and then you can transmute those weapons as well, so you can get crazier weapons. When you defeat bosses, you'll get body parts from them that you will be able to use to transmute your weapon into something crazier. But you can still play the whole game with your base weapons, so it's going to just depend on how you want to play. Of course, there's the magic system. There's like clerics, so you can have healing spells. We have a magic system that's fire and sky, so you have your fire skills or spells, and then you also have lightning spells, and then there's a balance between those two. So if you use a lot of fire, it will actually start damaging you. So you want to alternate between fire and sky.
A lot. And is that just gained from you progressing naturally, or do you have to, like, you know, it's like a talent tree or a spec you choose?
So there's a gigantic tree of skill. I don't know if you saw that. Giant tree of skill that as you collect salt, you'll be able to use that salt to create black pearls, and those black pearls you use on your skill tree. And then through the skill tree, you'll be unlocking things like your stats, upgrading your stats, but also your abilities, like the ability to use certain weapon classes, as well as certain levels of spells. And then the spells you will buy from mages, friendly mages.
Would that only apply to just one character, or is that like to all of the characters? You have to restart over if you make a new character.
Any character, as long as you can get the salt to build it, you can build any kind of character you want. The starting classes are just there as a base. Of course, there's like the popper class that is bare minimum, nothing.
You want the hard mode challenge.
Exactly. Yeah, we actually have a class that's called the chef, and that's like even less than the popper. But you start out with a frying pan and potatoes, and the potatoes are funny, but they don't really do anything. They're kind of like the pebble or the stone that you throw. It's more of a funny thing.
Right now, what I'm seeing is ancient castles, skeletons, werewolves, monsters. Can you kind of set up what the lore of this game is and why you're out doing the things that you're doing?
Yeah, so you start out as a sailor. Your mission is to escort a royalty across the sea for a marriage alliance, because your worlds are constantly at war, and hopefully marriage alliance will help that feud a little bit. But while you're at sea, your ship is attacked by marauders and then a giant sea creature, and so your ship sinks. You are washed ashore on this crazy island where everything wants to kill you, and you have to discover for yourself what's going on, what you're supposed to be doing. And a lot of the story is pretty veiled. You have to figure it out for yourself. Like, no one's really going to spell anything out for you. You're going to have to find it.
There's not an old wise man saying, "Hey, come here, let me tell you everything." I like this because it's like it's natural. You're trying to survive. Obviously, everything in there is trying to kill you. You have a couple of the blacksmiths, like you said, the NPCs. You know, to have that that level upgrading level ability. What kind of level design are we going to see on this island? Like, right now, what we're seeing is like medieval castles, going in dungeons, going in basements. What is the island like geography-wise?
So, world-wise, this is one world that's all connected. So you will find passageways that will lead to older areas. This starting area you're seeing is like, yeah, a lot of castles, medieval-looking stuff. But you will find yourself in crazier places like mushroom caverns and deep forests and
a lot of hidden areas, go back for exploration kind of thing?
Yeah, torture dungeons, just like lots of crazy stuff.
All the fun, crazy things that go along with being a medieval game like this. It's phenomenal. I love it so much. I love the whole concept of the stamina, the magic. You know, even me, who's not typically a 2D gamer, you know, when you have this level of polish and style and the art style, it means so much. The physics engine, everything, little bits and pieces, it's fantastic. I mean, obviously, y'all had the engine from Dishwasher. Did y'all have this idea in the back of your heads for a while now? Or was it until you had that engine in your hands, like, you know what, we could do something a bit different with this?
Yeah, so we've been building this engine since the very first Dishwasher, and we've been using XNA to progress our tools and just continue on. And this game, the idea for this game came really from the love of the Souls-like games. And it started out as a fan project, really. Like, it was a game for ourselves. Like, what would happen if we made 2D Dark Souls, basically? And then this sort of was born. And as we were showing it to friends, they told us, you need to make this a game. So we said, okay. So we started to make the game. And then, of course, you have to make the game your own thing. And so that's when you play it, you can feel it. It's very much Ska Studios
play style, that the action. I always feel like I'm in control of my character, and that's critical. Like you said, the Dark Souls games, the Bloodborne games, in that I know if I mess up, it's my fault. Same thing with this. You know, the pixel perfect jumping, I like it. Fall damage is brutal in this game. I'm not used to that in modern games, but it's a little humiliating, but it's nice. But that's fantastic. I can watch people play this all day because they're much better than I am at this game. But yeah, Salt and Sanctuary, what platforms is it going to be available on, and when do you think you might come out?
All right, so we're launching on PS4 and then Vita, and a little bit later we'll be on Steam. And we don't have a solid date yet, but we're aiming for early 2016.
It looks fantastic what you have right now. Michelle, thank you so much for talking to us, and good luck with the game. I can't wait to play it.
Great. Thanks a lot.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, holiday gift guide continues, and we're going to start off with a game that's been getting a lot of buzz this year.
Oh, yeah, it's coming off as a Game of the Year contender. We're talking about Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, which is Hideo Kojima's swan song in the Metal Gear franchise. Like Danny said, the reviews have been off the charts this year. People have played. I have not personally played it, and Danny's not personally played it, but from everything we've heard.
And Patrick
loves the game. So, again, if you're looking, if you're a Metal Gear fan, it sounds like it's a no-brainer to pick this up. If you're new to the series, definitely check out some of the reviews. And if you find this under the tree this year, it sounds like it's going to be a wild ride, a good treat.
Definitely, man. And also, Rainbow Six Siege just came out in December. I think it's the right time if you're a fan of Rainbow Six. This is a game that you should pick up. And I know Patrick went to the event a couple weeks ago to play the game. And also there's a video of it, of him. He's a beast playing that, man. And he was showing like the different things that you could do in the game. And it's a pretty good first-person shooter, man.
Yeah, I mean, I plan on picking it up on the PC. It, you know, the Rainbow Six series in general has just always been fantastic tactical shooter. You know, it relies on teamwork. So, again, if you're looking for that hardcore first-person shooter tactical experience, definitely check out Rainbow Six Siege.
Also, Madden NFL 16, Paris.
Well, allegedly, I'm supposed to love it.
I know, right? No, but let me tell you, from like, I've been getting a lot of people coming up to me, like at work and friends that played Madden this year, and they played the previous Madden and said, this is the best one because the way how they have their presentation graphically and everything is a lot better compared to like the previous Madden games. So I think if you're a fan of football, this is the only game out there.
It's literally the only football game out there. But again, you guys know Madden. It's been around forever. It is the signature franchise for the NFL football experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hey, if you love NFL, you love football, go check out Madden.
All right. Star Wars Battlefront. Perfect timing.
Is there anything else to be said? It's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars.
The Force Awakens coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that time of the year for Star Wars. You get to, you know, get to play as Darth Vader.
Yes, and Luke.
Skywalker and Han and Leia and all that. You know, it's a fun shooter to play with your buddies online.
And even the whole family, because it's not.
Exactly.
It's not like a.
And that's what it was created for. It was created for everyone to be able to pick it up and have fun with it.
Yeah, I've been having a blast because I've been playing a lot with the GTR listeners and stuff online. And yeah, man, I love Walker Assault. I've been having a blast with that. And also, we tried to do the heroes versus villains.
Right.
So much fun. I like it. So yeah, highly recommend it. If you're a fan of Star Wars, this is like a must have for the PlayStation 4.
And the Xbox One.
And Xbox One, yeah.
Probably. And the PC.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, Patrick here again, Gamertag Radio for PlayStation Experience 2015, almost at the end of day one. Got one more thing I wanted to show y'all. It's called Metrico Plus Digital Dreams. Be honest, I never heard of this game before, but after playing about 30 minutes of it, I'm quite sold on the idea. I'm joined by my good buddy here. What do you do on the game?
Sorry, come again?
What is your name? What do you do on the game?
So my name is Taima, and we're one of three guys, so it means that I do pretty much everything. But like, I'm mostly responsible for programming and some business parts.
So Metrico Plus, I know y'all had already said that you had released the original Metrico. How many years ago was it?
Slightly over a year.
Slightly over a year ago, and now y'all wanted to come back and do the Plus version for PlayStation 4. I guess tell me a bit about what is Metrico, what sets it apart, because, you know, I could try to describe it, you probably do a better job than I would.
Yeah, it remains a hard job for everyone, but. So Metrico is a world of infographics, so we're talking bar diagrams and pie charts and line graphs, And that may sound boring, but we're trying to make it more sexy than that. So it is, what happens with the charts is they react to your movement as a player. So whenever you jump or you walk a few steps to the left, then these statistics, these bars, they will tell you, yeah, you've walked this many steps or done this many jumps. So they go up. And those are the platforms that you're going across. So if you jump too often, it will be too high and maybe you cannot cross it anymore. We make you think about what you're doing. You're used to running and jumping in Mario, but without thinking, like giving it any thought. But right here, you'll be punished right away. And then, no. Let's do that again. And let's see what your consequences are.
I like a good point about the Mario is like typically I play platformers, I'm jumping, I'm running, I'm doing nonsense, and then of course all of a sudden I can't progress because I'm not thinking. And like you said, every single step matters, every jump matters. I really like that you have like the 0 to 100% in terms of like, you know, you actually have to jump repeatedly to make the platform go down. That's new, never seen that before. Like you said, it's tracing my movements. It's really, really cool. Where did you come up with the design for this game originally? Was it just like you just thought of this one day, or do you just kind of have? Did you and the team always have this in like in the back of your heads that you wanted to make something like this? Because this is truly unique.
Thank you. So we started. The idea came from the fact that we started to see infographics become more and more used in pop culture. So we saw it in newspapers where the price of oil was depicted in oil barrels and the amount of stack they were stacked upon each other. Yeah. Or an Iron Man had like his visor, it was like almost 5 years ago, and there were these infographics and motion graphics in his helmet, and we saw this happening. Well, we didn't see it happening in games, apart from maybe where like Portal at the start has, okay, you're going to use sort of these and these mechanics, but nothing as big as this, and we thought it'd be interesting in combination with. We didn't know how good it was going to work yet, but we thought maybe it's going to be interesting with the player sort of controlling the world through its actions. And then we prototyped that in a weekend, then we were pretty much sold.
No, it is very unique. Obviously, you have this glorious background animation, this art going on, the nice ambient soundtrack playing. Very peaceful, very relaxing game. I like it. It's still stimulating. You know, you still have to be paying attention with it. What else puzzle wise are we expecting from this? Besides like what we've seen is like having to jump to raise a platform or having to move in a certain direction to move a platform back in place. Like what else can we expect in later levels?
So every world introduces a new mechanic. There are 6 worlds in total, and so
world 1 right now that we're seeing.
Yeah, the first world just only does like running and jumping, but we can already do quite a bit with that. Yeah. Then the second world introduces sort of a restart mechanic that allows you to do the puzzle over quite quickly. But that also becomes a statistic, you know, how many times you've started over.
You should have told me that. Now I'm all self-conscious how many times I had to restart constantly just to get a single puzzle. I like that.
But it also helps you, like, get the trial and error to, like, as least punishing as possible, you know, because we want you to experiment. We want you to figure out what's going on, and the best way to do it is just trying. So, and then you move on to World 3, and you get the ability to shoot, and there are sort of these enemies, sort of, but rather than, I'd say, Call of Duty, where you have to shoot everything, more often than not, you have to keep them alive.
It goes against all my counterculture programming. They're all my games. But I like these. These are different ideas. Like, as you said, if each world's introducing a new concept like this, it's almost like a new game every time because I'm having to rethink how it works. I, you know, just something as simple as like, you know, I would see what it, like I'm watching someone play right now, and just the simplest things like timing running, timing jumping, all it's very satisfying because when you're stuck on a puzzle and you're just like so frustrated and then you just get it. Or in my case is like sometimes I just wasn't jumping high enough. That's a really cool feeling. I mean, did you spend a lot of time playtesting this and coming up with more ideas of like, you know, that's good, but we could do this better.
We start off by. Like every mechanic, so say jumping, you know? Suppose jumping is sort of the main thing in the first world. We really sort of analyze for ourselves what does jumping mean. And so jumping is a press of a button.
Yes.
Sure, but jumping is like the leaping part of it. But at one point you're landing, at one point you're some time you spend in the air, you have some time you're spending in the air while going upward, and some time you're going downward. So really sort of trying to dissect all these actions that you have.
Yeah.
Every puzzle will try is focused on teaching you one of those like sub aspects of an action that you have. So we build puzzles to teach you more and more and more about what you're doing, and then we have to play test a lot because you know what you might think is a brilliant puzzle may not really resonate well, or people may not get it at all because it's too complicated, or maybe it's way too easy, or people find some solution that you wouldn't have thought of and the puzzle becomes too trivial. There's a lot of playtesting involved, yeah.
Because even like something simple as watching someone else play versus my playstyle, I mean, it's a night and day. And that's the best part. It's like, you know, going into this game with no introduction is the best method, because it's almost like, you know, I love watching other people play games as a social experiment, but things like this where you're challenging the mind, you're going against, you guys are pretty much going against most of like the tropes that 2D games are known for. And it's, I like it. It's something different. It's something bizarre. I'm really enjoying it. You said you got 6 worlds. I think the game said only play like 8% of the total game, so there's a lot more to come. Do you have any idea of when you might release Metrico?
We're hoping around March or April. We're sort of ready content-wise, but we really want to nail it with the polishing because, I mean, it's coming to PS4, Xbox, and Steam, and there are so many games out there, and you need to compete, but also we want to be proud of what we're making. And polishing is a part of that. So
it is, because you want that wow factor, like, you know, just because I have, you know, this is a demo and you guys aren't even done and you've already sold me. So I can't wait to see what you'll do with the rest of the game. I wish you the best of luck. So you said possibly March of next year, Xbox One, Steam, PlayStation 4, Metrico Plus from Digital Dreams. You guys got to check this out. It's very cool, very unusual game, but it's a lot of fun. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Paris, that's about it. We're going to wrap it up now for episode 427. Next week is Christmas. What are you going to be doing next week for Christmas? Any plans?
Just spending time with the family. I think Santa Claus is delivering something that one of my children truly going to love, yeah. And I'm going to love that he has it. So
you have to record this. I'm dying to see his reaction.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I don't want to say he could be peeping around the corner right now. I don't know. But he's gonna be pretty excited. I want to say this real quick. Remember, you asked way earlier about games in 2016, and I was saying, oh, we should wait till next time when all of us are on there. But I got to say this one game. Don't ask me why. I'm really hyped for Battlefield 5.
Really?
I really want to play it. I really, really want to play it. I don't know. I just got this funny feeling. DICE is going to nail the multiplayer this time on Battlefield. I just think it's going to be that experience I've been looking for.
And
I don't know nothing. I don't have no little birdies, nothing. Nobody's told me anything. I'm just complete speculation. I just got a good feeling. So hopefully they'll do a reveal here soon so we can get some more information.
Wow. I'm impressed. All right. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. And listen to our past episodes and give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Hopefully soon we'll get everybody here. We're enjoying these last couple of weeks here during the holidays and stuff. And, you know, we're taking little breaks here and there. So, but I'm telling you, we're going to be back full force in January. We have a lot of things coming up. Man,
hey,
Paris has something coming up, right, Paris?
Oh, yeah. Hey, 2016, we're kicking it off big time. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to something we're going to be covering here pretty soon. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. All right, until next time. See you Monday, guys. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.